being this morning. We are recording it, so we will post it on the Rangeland Resources webpage as well. So you can pass that on to people that had missed it, or if you get cut off and you're on the phone or need to leave, you can go back and catch up. So, Shauna, you want to go ahead and.
Yeah, the recording has started.
Yep, you want to go ahead and put up the presentation?
Oh, you're ready to go with that. You betcha.
Yep. If you are on the phone, it's star six to mute and unmute. So if everybody would please mute themselves, it helps with the presentation quality for everybody. So thanks for joining us this morning with the Rangeland Resources Range Improvement Loan Program. Oh, give me just a second here. I've got
Oops.
lots of stuff going on. Okay. The Range Improvement Loan Program was created in the late 70s as a part of the Rangeland Resources Act. Originally, it started as a no-interest loan program with annual allocations from the Coal Severance Tax Fund. Eventually, this became a permanent allocation of $1 million, and there was an established special revenue account for the loan program. To date, there have been 161 loans for range improvement projects across the state of Montana for the tune of almost $3.6 million. If you're a numbers person, it is $3,588,262. Next slide, please.
Okay.
So there's the statute. Statute does govern the loan program, and there's the statute that created the special revenue account for the loan program. Legalese from the 1970s. I would add this statute has not had a lot of touch since the late 70s and early 80s. So some of the things that pop up might make you kind of question, well, why is it that way? It's largely because the statute hasn't been updated since, I think, 1985 was the last update. Next slide, please. Eligibility for loans. Bear with me a second here while I move some stuff around. Eligibility for loans. So there is specific criteria to be eligible to secure a loan. Must be a resident of Montana, engaged in farming or ranching. Possess the necessary expertise to make the loan practical. All the loans must be for rangeland improvement or development exclusively. And then we at the department have to come up with the application and means of servicing the loan. And then the loans must be accompanied by a conservation plan, which may be prepared in consultation with NRCS. It doesn't have to be, but it can be. Next slide. Selection of loan recipients. So it's also in statute how the loan recipients are selected, and the conservation district is the first stop for the loan process. So an applicant, if they're interested in the loan program, will apply, download the application, apply through the conservation district. The CD must review the application for feasibility and prioritize applications for referral to the department. Now, back in the 70s and 80s, for those of us who are old enough to remember, interest rates were in the double digits. There was no farm bill program per se for conservation practices. So the loan program was highly sought after and very well used. And at one time, conservation districts in parts of the state got 10 to 20 applications per quarter. So that's where the word prioritize applications comes in, is because at one time they actually had to prioritize loan applications because there was more requests for loans than there was money available to loan out. So then it goes up to the department, and it's our responsibility to organize and review the applications for completeness and clarity. And then it goes to the Rangeland Resource Committee, they make a recommendation to the director, and the director has final approval or denial. So just for CDs that have experienced loans recently, even if it makes it through the conservation district, it might not make it through DNRC or the range committee for approval. Next slide, please. We are in slide 5. Do I have that right?
Criteria.
Criteria, yes. So it's actually outlined in statute what the criteria are that the conservation district must evaluate the loan application on. And I apologize, it's kind of small, but there are, five or six criteria that you must use in evaluating the loan. So it must be a range improvement or development project undertaken on native range, resulting in improvement of native range condition. And it says a benefit to more than a single operator has first priority. So the statute in its wisdom in the late 70s also, along with criteria, sort of gave you ways to give people more points or higher approval. So it starts out with native range, it goes to native range or tame pasture land in conjunction with native range, resulting in improvement of native range condition. So that would be an example where somebody maybe developed water and was able to use a tame pasture and give a native pasture a rest. Range improvement projects or development projects undertaken on tame pasture gets a third priority. And then you can see, I won't bore you with reading the slides, but it goes down in priority. We will have time for questions at the end as well. So next slide, please. So those of you who are familiar with statute and administrative rules, the statute say what we're gonna do. The administrative rules more or less say how we're gonna do it. The department was actually directed to write administrative rules back in 1985, and it never happened. So, go back a slide. So this past winter, we embarked on administrative rules, which was a learning curve for me, as well as it overlapped with a change in administration. So administrative rules in part reflect things that are already in statute, but also add timelines to how long a conservation district has to approve a loan. It puts timeframes on when a applicant needs to get his application to the conservation district to get on their agenda. So we'll see here if I can bring those up. Actually, Shauna, you lost.
Sorry.
Nope.
Yeah, I'm trying to get it back here.
That's okay. I'll bring up these administrative rules and we'll cover them. Talk about the timeline. So actually, Shauna, if you want to stop sharing screen, I'll pull up my screen.
Okay.
Can everybody see those? Okay, I'm assuming that since there's no nose that you can see it. So there's the administrative rules, which were published at the end of March. So these are official rules. It talks about the application. During the application review process, it specifies that the board, and the board means Conservation District Board, must use the criteria outlined in the statute. The board must notify the applicants of action taken within 5 business days. So if you have a board meeting on a Monday and you take action on that loan application, you have to notify the applicant within 5 days. You also have to forward us your recommendations of approval or denial within those 5 days. And notification can simply be an email to both the applicant and to DNRC as well. The application is then reviewed and organized within DNRC, which also includes, I have to do MEPA on loan applications because we do. In order to meet MEPA with this program using tax dollars, we have to do MEPA. So the applicant is also required to fill out an environmental checklist that I review to make sure that it meets MEPA and that we follow all the processes that are required by MEPA. It talks about the structure of the loan. If any conservation districts are interested in it, in the specific structure, it's up to $75,000. It's a real estate secured loan. It can be a second, possibly a third mortgage on a piece of real estate. It's paid out over 10 years. And currently the interest rate is 1.5%. The interest rate will be set or adjusted by July 1st of each year. The interest rate is determined by a recommendation from the Rangeland Resource Committee. So a question popped up in the chat. If the application is returned to the applicant for clarification and questions, how does that affect the timeline? Well, I do believe that would start it all over, John. So if you sent it back to the applicant for clarification and questions, they would have to be back on the agenda for the next meeting with those clarifications and questions addressed. Okay, Shauna, I will stop sharing. Are you able to bring up the last slide? She went mute on me. I will bring up the last slide, I think. Oh, no, she's doing it. Can I advance the next slide, please? Which is the last one. So there's some resources there. The administrative rules, the Rangeland Resource Act, a link to our webpage, which has the loan improvement program on it, as well as applications. My contact information, as well as Bill Herbalich. So Bill is the loan officer within DNRC that actually makes sure that it meets the financial and loan requirements within DNRC and the state of Montana. I will make a note also, the applicant only needs to turn into the conservation district the first few pages of the application along with their conservation plan. The conservation district does not need to see. In fact, it might be a violation, but they're financial statements that go to Bill. So the financial statements go right to DNRC. Conservation District gets the application, the general information, and the conservation plan. I get the environmental checklist. Any questions for me this morning? You're a quiet bunch at 8 o'clock this morning. No questions from the conservation district?
I have a question, Stacy.
Yes.
So if we were to try to get the word out about this, what would be, I'm trying to think of how we would target people who might be interested in this program. Is there a way we could do a quick write-up, or you could do a quick write-up for a newsletter or for us to post on our websites?
You bet. Actually, in my May newsletter that hopefully will come out Monday, there is an article on the Range Improvement Loan Program.
Okay, cool.
So feel free to forward that on, copy and paste, however you see fit to use it.
Okay, I will do that. Thank you.
A lot of times, so this loan program, as I mentioned, saw a lot of activity in the mid-80s. then the Farm Bill program and the Food Security Act happened. And so people were able to do conservation practices without taking out a loan per se. And as many of you know now, a lot of those practices, the cost share on them is pretty substantial. So the loan program really hasn't seen a lot of activity in the last decade. We do see people do take out loans to meet the gap when they're doing conservation work with NRCS. So one way to promote the program too is to make sure that the staff, the NRCS staff in your office knows about the program. There's been such a turnover in staff with NRCS over the last 5 years even that a lot of them don't know that this program is available to give to producers.
Stacy.
Hi, Julie.
Hi, I have a question. So I just had a kid who filled one of these out. I don't think I did this right, but anyway. So we send an email saying we've approved it. And we send that to you, that email, or?
You can send it to me, absolutely. The conservation district on the application actually has a box that they have to sign.
Yeah, we signed that, we got that.
Yep, sign that, and just let me know.
I don't know if the whole application goes to you and then you guys divide it up to who gets what part of it?
You can do that. That'll work. The application itself actually, designates what goes to Bill and what comes to me. But the last couple applications I've noticed didn't pay attention to that. So we didn't.
Okay. Well, I'll check with him and see where he's.
Perfect.
I think he sent it all out. So I was just curious about that. So thank you. Yep.
You're welcome. Any other questions? I certainly didn't do that great of a job this morning that there's only two questions.
I got one, Stacy.
I knew you wouldn't let me down.
So how does this, can you have a TIP program with NRCS? I might have missed that. And this combined together on the same project, or how does that work?
Absolutely, yeah. Just because somebody participates in USDA, it doesn't preclude them from applying for a loan as well. So this can be used and has been used to match projects within NRCS's scope. So absolutely, it can be used with a TIP project.
Okay. So, and then I'm a little bit, I'm following up on John's question probably a little bit. The five-day deal, so if you have a needed information or whatever, and then it comes back to the next board meeting and then you look through it, but it wasn't complete. Is the 5 day, when you say you start over on the 5 day deal there, how long do you keep going with incomplete responses back on it? Or you just kind of like say, well, do we have to notify him, or we're waiting and nothing happened, or how does that work?
Right. So for example, if you get one and you ask for more information and you haven't got it, then you just let the applicant know that you are waiting on their information and you can't move forward until you get the completed application.
All right. And then that's 5 days after that period, or when does the 5 day kick in thing?
Well, the 5 day, once you've made a decision, that's when the 5 day kicks in. So at your board meeting, it's on the agenda. And if you say it's tabled for decision until we get more information from the applicant, you have 5 days to let that applicant know that you're missing information. And then it starts all over again. Does that make sense?
Kind of.
Starts all over again. So you let them know that within the 5 days that they're missing information, and they are to provide you with the information, and then that goes back on your agenda at the next board meeting, right? Because you have to take action on it.
Okay. So after we make action, then it's 5 days to notify them then.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
Okay. Anybody else this morning? Going once, going twice. Well, thank you, everybody. I hope this was helpful. And again, we will post a recording on the Range on Resources webpage under CARD so that you can go back and review it, or you can share it with other board members. I appreciate everybody's time and questions this morning, and everybody have a good rest of your week. Thank you.
Thanks. Have a good week. Pray for rain.
Yeah, thanks.